In addition to using positive language, we also want to avoid vague, abstract, or ambiguous phrasing, and to word our requests in the form of concrete actions that others can take. A cartoon depicts a man who has fallen into a lake. As he struggles to swim, he shouts to his dog on shore, "Lassie, get help!" In the next frame, the dog is lying on a psychiatrist's couch. We all know how opinions vary as to what constitutes help. Some members of my family, when asked to help with the dishes, think help means supervise. A couple in distress attending a workshop provided a good example of what happens when we're not clear about what we're requesting. The wife said to the husband, "I want you to let me be me." After she said this, the husband responded by saying, "I do." She said, "No, you don't." I asked her to do it again and suggested that she do it in action language. What do you want him to do to let you be yourself? She said to her husband now, "I want you to give me the freedom to grow and be myself." This was still not understood by him. He again said, "I do." And she said, "No, you don't." I worked with her for a couple minutes, trying to help her to get this into action language. And then she said, "Oh, it's kind of awkward. If I were to be precise, I guess what I want is for you to smile and say that anything I do is okay." Very often the use of vague and abstract language masks such impossible things for people to do for us. A similar lack of clarity occurred between a father and his 15-year-old son when they came in for counseling. He said to his son at one point, "All I want is for you to start showing a little responsibility. Is that asking too much?" I asked the father to specify what he wanted his son to do to demonstrate the responsibility he was seeking. The father thought for a moment and said, "Well, it doesn't sound so good, but when I say what I want responsibility, what I really mean is I want him to do what I ask without question, to jump when I say jump and to smile while doing it." He then agreed with me that if his son were to actually behave this way, it would be demonstrating obedience rather than responsibility. Like this father, we often use vague and abstract language to indicate how we want other people to feel or be without naming a concrete action they can take to reach that state. For example, an employer makes a genuine effort to invite feedback, telling the employees, "I want you to feel free to express yourself around me." Now, such a statement communicates the employer's desire for the employees to, in quotes, feel free, end quotes, but not what they could do in order to feel this way. Instead, the employer, if using positive action language, would make the request this way: "I'd like you to tell me what I might do to make it easier for you to feel free to express yourselves around me." As a final illustration of how the use of vague language contributes to internal confusion, I would like to present a conversation that I would invariably have during my practice as a clinical psychologist with many of the students who came to me with complaints of depression. After I empathized with the depth of feelings that the clients had expressed, our exchanges would typically proceed in the following manner, myself to the client: "I'd like you to tell me what you are wanting from me and others that you are not receiving." Client responds, "I don't know what I want." Me: "I guess that you would say that." Client: "Why?" Me: "My theory is that we get depressed because we're not getting our needs met. We're not getting what we want. And we're not getting our needs met and getting what we want because we've never been taught to get what we want. Instead, we've been taught to be good little girls and boys, good mothers and fathers. And if we're going to be one of those good things, we better get used to being depressed. Depression is the reward we get for being good." But if you'd like to enjoy life more, I'd suggest you clarify your needs, and when you express your needs, make clear exactly what you would like people to do to meet your needs. How does that sound to you? Client,
I just want someone to love me. That's hardly unreasonable, is it?
Me, well, that's a good start. At least you made clear what your needs are. But now it doesn't say what you would like others to do to meet your needs. What do you want people to do? What could I do right now, for example, to meet your need for love? Client,
oh, you know.
Me, well, I'm not so sure I do. I'd like you to tell me exactly what you would like me to do or others to do to fulfill your need for love. Client,
that's hard.
Me, yes, it can be difficult to make clear requests. But if it's hard for us to say what we want, think how hard it is for others to do what we want if we can't even say it.
Client, yeah, I'm starting to get clear that if they can't do it if I don't even know what it is.
Well, I'm starting to get clear what I want to fulfill my need for love, but it's embarrassing.
Me,
yes, very often it is embarrassing what we're hiding behind these vague requests. So let's get it out. What would you like for me or others to do to meet your need for love? Client, if I really reflect upon what I'm asking for when I ask to be loved, I suppose I want you to guess what I want before I even know what it is. And then I want you always to do it.
Me,
I'm grateful for your clarity. I hope you can see how you're not likely to find someone who can fulfill your need for love if that's what it takes. Very often my clients were able to see how the lack of awareness of what they wanted had contributed significantly to their frustrations and depression. Sometimes we may be able to communicate a clear request without having to put it in words. Suppose you're in the kitchen and your sister who's watching television in the living room calls out, "I'm thirsty." In this case, it's obvious that she's probably requesting you to bring her a glass of water from the kitchen. However, in other instances, we may express our discomfort and incorrectly assume that the listener has understood the underlying request. For example, a woman might say to her husband, "I'm annoyed you forgot the butter and onions I asked you to pick up at the store." While it may be obvious to her that she's asking him to go back to the store and get those items, the husband may think that her words were uttered solely to make him feel guilty. Even more often, we are simply not conscious of what we're requesting when we speak. We talk to others or at them without knowing how to engage in a dialogue with them. We toss out words using the presence of others as a wastebasket. In such situations, the listener, unable to discern a clear request in the speaker's words, may experience the kind of distress illustrated in the following anecdote. I was sitting directly across the aisle from a couple on a mini train that carries passengers to their respective terminals at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. For passengers in a hurry to catch a plane, the snail's pace of the train may well be irritating. The man turned to his wife and said with intensity, "I've never seen a train go so slow in all my life." She said nothing, but it looked to me like she was tense and uneasy as to what her husband was wanting from her when he said this. He then did what many of us do when we're not getting the response we want. Instead of being conscious we didn't say what we wanted, he repeated to her, in a markedly stronger voice, "I've never seen a train go so slow in all my life." The wife, at a loss for an understanding of what he wanted, now was even in more distress. In desperation, she turned to him and said, "They're electronically timed." I didn't think this piece of information was what he was asking for, and indeed it didn't seem to be, for he repeated himself a third time, even more loudly, "I have never seen a train go so slow in all of my life." The wife's patience was clearly exhausted as she snapped back angrily, "Well, what do you want me to do about it? Get out and push?" So now there were two people in pain, because the husband just didn't know how to be clear what he wanted back. What might the man have been wanting back from his wife?
I believe he wanted to hear that his pain was understood. And if he had said to her, "Could you just tell me back what you hear me feeling?" I think she might have responded, "Well, it sounds like you're scared we might miss our plane, and you're disgusted because you'd like a faster train running between these terminals." In the above exchange, the wife heard her husband's frustration, but wasn't clear what he wanted back. Equally problematic is the reverse situation, when people state their requests without first communicating the feelings and needs behind them. This is especially true when the request takes the form of a question, such as, in quotes, "Why don't you go and get a haircut?" end quotes. That could easily be heard by youngsters as a demand or an attack, unless parents remember to first reveal their own feelings and needs. That might sound like this: "We're worried that your hair is getting so long it might keep you from seeing things, especially when you're on your bike. We have a need for your safety. How about getting a haircut?" end quotes. It's more common, however, for people to talk without being conscious of what they're asking for, such as, "I'm not requesting anything," they might remark. "I just felt like saying what I did." My belief is that whenever we say something to another person, we are requesting something in return. It may simply be an empathic connection, which could be done verbally or nonverbally. Or we may be requesting an honest response. We wish to know the listener's reaction to our words. Or we may be requesting an action that we hope would fulfill our needs. The clearer we are on what we want back from the other person, the more likely it is that our request will be honored.